Title of our lesson, obviously, officially, is Who Touched Me? Now, we're more used to the saying, don't touch me, right? We heard that before? Easton, right? He said that this morning when I was tickling him. His belly was showing. And then he said, please don't touch me. But not so. And so our question this morning for us, as we look at this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 8, you could title our lesson, Who Touched Me? You could also title it, In the Presence of Jesus, or Reaching Out for Jesus. And I'd like for us to consider those things as we look at the passage and what people did when they interacted with Jesus in this lesson. Why did they come to Jesus? What did they ask of Jesus? Why did they want to touch Jesus? If we look at our passage this morning, verses 40 through 42, preceding our lesson text, it is written, and so it was, when Jesus returned, that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. You know, the story of the woman with the issue of blood is stuck right in the middle of the story about the man with the daughter. It's kind of unique, you know. Kind of like, don't touch me. Don't put your story in the middle of my story. Not so with God. This is the way it is written. So I'm looking at the whole total passage of what transpires. Okay, obviously, Jesus has returned and the multitude welcomed him. Folks, you think that, just take that for granted, potentially, but I ask us, do we welcome Jesus into our hearts? Do we welcome Jesus each and every day we wake up and have a new day of life? Are we waiting for Jesus to give us direction, to open doors for us, to help guide us by his Holy Spirit? And here's the other thing. I don't know about you. I'll give you an example. When's the last time your lovely wife has dropped down on your feet and pleaded with you for something? Never happened, has it? I feel your pain. I've been married almost 30 years. Never happened. And we both have precious wives who we cherish tremendously. So in our lives, we're not used to that. We're not used to feet washing, which is a whole other story. Okay? But falling down at somebody's feet to recognize how great they are, or that we are in dire need. We are in a world where we say, I don't need anything, I'm self-sufficient. But yet we want the boss's check sent to us every week in cash. Okay? Or the checks that we work for that are getting cashed. However, those things are getting cashed. We don't have to fall at somebody's feet. Yesterday's Veterans Day. There's multiple people that have served as veterans that have recognized what it's like to, one, have to fall at somebody's feet because they've been a prisoner of war, or two, because they've been in a country where people have fell at their feet because they helped them. I remind us of those things this morning and of this passage, and ask us as God's children, when's the last time you fell down at the feet of Jesus and begged him to come to your house? Begged him to come to your house. You needed him. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of folks. I'm getting ready to go deer hunting. We got some folks up there that deer hunt, and we call them no-show. Because I'll be there. I'll come see you. Don't be a no-show when it comes to Jesus. In
the kingdom of heaven. And folks, there's no shame in begging Jesus for help. For our health, for our security, for our faith, for our children and our grandchildren.
This gentleman was a ruler of the synagogue. It wasn't just a beggar. This wasn't poor Lazarus. I don't have nothing. I don't need nothing. I'm not doing nothing. I'm just going to beg a little bit. Okay? Some of those people that stand along the edge of the interstate, begging's an easy way out. Some of them need it. I struggle with that. Who really needs the money and who's a con? I can guarantee you, Jesus is not a con. And when we go begging to him for help, he's there to help us and he wants to help us. You noticed when the woman of issue of blood touched Jesus, he didn't say, "Don't touch me anymore." He didn't say, "You're in big trouble, Missy." He didn't say, "That's the last time you're ever going to touch me again." He said, "I feel some power going from me. Somebody needed some help." Who was that? He's there to help. And same thing with us. When somebody grabs a hold of us, somebody reaches out to us, somebody touches us with their lives, with their problems, with their faith or lack of faith. Do we say, "Who touched me?" Or do we say, "Don't touch me. I don't have time for you." Jesus never said, "I don't have time for you." Probably one of the things I struggle with most in my life is making time for the kingdom of heaven, for work of God. I struggle with doing things I want to do. I don't know about you guys. You know, it's temptation. I got to say no. So I fall down at Jesus' feet and beg him to forgive me for not spending more time with him, for not touching him, for not wanting to touch him, for not welcoming him, for not waiting for him. In the whole story we'll read this morning pertaining to the woman with the issue of blood, obviously the highlighted spots are the ones that I want us to take note of this morning of this passage. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitude strong and press against you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling. And falling down before him, she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason that she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me." And folks, I ask us this morning, do we want the power of God in our lives? And I hope you say yes. But until you touch Jesus and you reach out to the hem of his garment, until you grab a hold of him as your Lord and Savior, you welcome him in. That power you desire to have over sin, the power to live righteously, the power to live gloriously, the power to live in peace, to live in contentment, only comes by grabbing hold of Jesus, touching Jesus. And when that happens, and when you recognize how powerful, we talked this morning about how precious a Savior Jesus was in Bible class. I kept thinking to myself, if he had just sinned once, he couldn't be the Lamb that saved us. Just once. And Satan tried for 33 years, every minute, I believe, to try and keep Jesus from fulfilling the promise of God. And he didn't. He didn't. I look at, for my life, up until I was 33 years, I fall down on my knees in the presence of Jesus. She came trembling and falling down before him and declared in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him. Obviously, she had physical issues. But folks, when we come to Jesus, if we come and just use a spiritual consideration, we come to Jesus to get rid of sin in our lives because we can't take care of it on our own. We can say no to sin and we can resist it. But when we do, we need to fall before him and declare in the presence of all people, I am saved by the blood of Christ. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. When's the last time you looked in the mirror? I use that a lot, but folks, it's so real. When's the last time you looked in the mirror and said, I need Jesus today? Or you get up in the morning and say, I need coffee, and I need some breakfast, and I need to hit the road running. Instead of saying, I need Jesus. That's what happens when people come in contact with Jesus. If their heart is really touched, they will tremble. They will recognize his power, his glory, how great he is. We will recognize the need for him and declare to people. That's a tough thing to declare to each other and to God Almighty. I've sinned. I struggle with this. Just like I mentioned a little bit earlier about time. And you know, folks, we all struggle with things that keep us from being 100% who we want to be. Let's be honest with each other. But if you can't even be honest with Jesus, I'll give you an example. If I can't tell Jesus that I need him, how in the world am I going to tell my wife that I need her? Or my brother Tom that I need him? Or my sister Catherine that I need? I don't need any of you. I can get by on my own. That's Satan tempting me. If I say that and mean that and have that type of consideration. I don't need those people. Folks, when you start thinking that or you ever say that, you better recognize it's Satan working on your heart. We need each other. Okay? We need each other. We need Jesus in our lives. And Jesus says, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. She had to touch Jesus. She had to step out by faith and touch Jesus. You know, the funny thing about it, everybody around, even the apostles, the disciples, come on now, Jesus. Everybody's touching you. You're in the crowd. What are you talking about? You know, disciples are saying, come on, man. How do you know somebody touched you? That happens to us in our lives. We don't recognize Jesus is right there. Somebody's touching Jesus. We don't recognize there's people with all kinds of issues of blood in their lives. That's why there's a Jesus. That's why there's a Savior that can take care of those things that come to our lives. There may have been some there that knew about her issues. But guess what? Apparently not the disciples. She knew about her issues for 12 years. Here's another great part of this lesson, folks. And she spent all her money trying to get it fixed and get it right. And we spend all kinds of money to feel good and to make our hearts right. And without Jesus, you can't do it. Things aren't right. Things aren't made well in our hearts, in our spiritual lives, until we touch Jesus. And we got to continually keep touching Him, to be in contact with Him, to be led by His Holy Spirit. It's just not a once and done deal. How many of us have went, let's just use that example of going to a doctor. If we go to the doctor and he tells us take 2 aspirin and call me in the morning, or call me 2 weeks from now, how many of us had that happen before? Anybody? A couple of us. I had it happen to me. I had a doctor told me I got to get cut on, I got to have my back surgery. Chiropractor didn't want to touch me anymore because the mess my lower back was. I go to one of the best spine specialists, head of Indiana Spine Association. I'm on the right track. I'm spending the right money. And I walk in there, and I'm just a little bit, kind of like a little bit sore, but, you know, I'm getting around. Every other person in there is walking with a cane or a walker. And I go in there, and he says, can you touch your toes? And I bend over and said, yeah. Now I can. It took me like 2 months to see the guy. By the time I see him, I'm halfway feeling better. Okay? But you know what he tells me? He says, take 2 Aleve, double Aleve for 2 weeks. Basically, take inflammation, anti-inflammation, and pain reliever for 2 weeks. Double dose for 2 weeks. Basically, take 2 aspirin and call me later. If you have issues, and if it arises again, come see me immediately. See, I remember all this. Happened multiple years ago. I waited such a long time to see that doctor. And he says, just take a couple aspirin. Come see me, you know. And then I compare myself to those people that are struggling just to move. And we do the same thing sometimes when it comes to Jesus and touching Jesus. I'm okay. I don't need to touch Jesus. I don't need Him. I've been washed by His blood. I know all about the Bible. I'm doing okay. And then there's all kinds of people walking around with a walker in a wheelchair. They can't get to Jesus. So they guess who's going to bring Jesus to them? Us. That's the neat thing about you guys being here this morning and us reasoning together and sharing God's word. We're touching Jesus. We're reaching out to Jesus. Thank you for doing that. That's another reason why I said I love you guys so much, because you encourage me to keep on keeping on. You are following what we're seeing here. But as I read God's holy word, it reminds me that we need to continue not to give up. We need to continue to be of good cheer and walk by faith. And be reminded that people throughout history of man have struggled with the same things we struggle with today. In the following part of the passage, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble a teacher. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, said, do not be afraid, only believe. She will be made well. When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep, she is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, little girl, arise. Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat, and her parents were astonished. But he charged them to tell no one what had happened. This little girl needed to be touched by Jesus, but so did all the mom and father and all those people. Can you imagine how Peter, James, and John were touched when they saw Jesus raise this little girl from the dead? Can you imagine those that ridiculed Jesus for not knowing when somebody was dead and when somebody isn't? Now, this is a physical story that factually happened, but I ask us to think in the spiritual terms. How many people do you think are spiritually dead that we give up on? And Jesus says, do not be afraid, only believe. Do not weep. There's still opportunity for them to come and touch me. Or is Jesus telling us this morning, arise from the dead. Touch me. Be guided by my will in your life. That's when the Spirit returns to us, when we say, Jesus, I need you. We sing a song, go, go, Spirit, go that way, come again another day, a more convenient day. Folks, now is the acceptable time to let Jesus work in our hearts. Now is the acceptable time to touch Jesus. Now is always an acceptable time. Tomorrow morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Setting in the tree deer hunting. I'm going to be hunting this following week. I'm going to be up in Michigan. I'll think about you folks some. I think about a lot of things setting in that tree. And I got a high stand this year. The tree moves around, and first couple minutes I'm up there, I start talking to Jesus. Man, I hope this tree don't snap off because it's moving quite a bit. I'm going to have to reach out and touch Jesus. We all are going to have to reach out and touch Jesus in our lives this week. Remember to do that. You're not alone. Remember He's there. Remember He says, don't be afraid, only believe. Don't weep. And He tells us to arise. Folks, just a couple thoughts from the Old Testament pertaining to our consideration this morning about who touched me. And relying on Jesus or in the presence of Jesus. You know, and they heard the sound, written in Genesis 3:8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. You wonder why you don't feel the presence of Jesus, the presence of God in your life? I'll tell you why it happens to all of us. Sin. That's why Adam and Eve hid from the presence of the Lord, because of sin. There's people not here this morning to worship with us, to be touching Jesus, because of sin. There's people who have chosen in their lives not to be in the presence of Lord God Almighty, because of sin. It's not by chance. It's not by happenstance. Don't get me wrong. Some people have to work, and that's a totally different issue than saying, I don't need to touch Jesus today. I'm going to do my own thing today. Folks, let's be careful and cautious we don't do that. We need Jesus. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. Folks, when we sing together, we're in presence. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. There was a time in my life when I was like, oh man, I got to get up and come to church again. But there hadn't been that many times in my life, folks, and I'm thankful for that. And it doesn't happen anymore for me, because I know I need Jesus and I need you folks in my life. I need to see your smiling faces first day of the week. I need to partake of these emblems that remind me how precious Jesus is and what He's done for me. I need to be reminded that my sins are forgiven, And that Jesus came and walked on this earth to tell us about God's love and his grace and eternal life. And to be part of the presence of Almighty God. Surely the righteous shall give thanks in your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence. Shall touch Jesus. Being in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of Jesus. In closing this morning, just remember the things that we've read from God's holy word. Who touched me? Are you touching Jesus? Are you reaching out for him this morning? Do you welcome him? Have you fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to your house? You got something going on in your life and nobody can help you with, Jesus can help you with that. Yes, we will be recognized in trembling and falling down before Jesus when you acknowledge how great he is and how much you need him. Folks, we all need to do that. We all need to recognize how great God is in our lives. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him. Folks, let's not kid ourselves. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we all need him. Whether it's physically, especially spiritually, folks, we need him. And remember that Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Walk by faith, and you will feel a peace that only comes through understanding of being touched by Jesus. Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. Walk by faith. Do not be afraid. Do not weep. She is not dead but sleeping. Folks, there's people out there that are lost in sin. Don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. Their only hope of touching Jesus might be us telling them about Jesus. Little girl, arise. Is Jesus asking us to arise and touch somebody for him? Is he asking us to arise and touch him to remove stuff in our lives that's hindering us from serving him in his kingdom? I plead with you this morning, if the lesson has touched your heart in any way, reach out for Jesus today. Touch Jesus today. Listen to his voice as he's calling on you as we stand and sing the selected hymn this morning.